Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've spoken extensively about the US elections and what is going on there. But what's interesting to us, what's interesting to me in this report, in our discussion, is how this impacts on Israel, how it impacts on the relationship between Israel and the United States. Should Joe Biden be successful, which it certainly looks like he will be, what does it mean with regard to the United Nations? I see Jerusalem Post this morning leading with Israeli minister warns of war if Biden returns to Iran deal. If Biden stays with a policy that there will in the end be a violent confrontation between Israel and Iran. It's got to be an unsettling time in Israel.
Well, let's unpack everything. First of all, I don't think anybody needed fireworks this week. I think we've had enough coming from the United States. If I had the propensity to bite my nails, obviously I don't, because, you know, one has to have pretty nails. Right. I think they would have been chewed down to the knuckles. We still don't have a definitive answer on who will be the next president of the United States. Will it be Biden and Harris? Because there's, of course, speculation that Biden won't sit out the full 4-year term, or will President Trump, the incumbent, get another 4 years? But I don't think that there's any other country in the world that follows the proceedings in the United States quite as closely as Israel does. And as I've said over the last couple of weeks, you know, whether you like or loathe President Donald Trump, the one thing that he has done right, in fact, he's barely put a foot wrong, is his policy towards Israel and the Middle East. And we have certainly seen the rewards of this with the normalization that has taken place over the last couple of months. But, you know, it was always estimated that this presidency could come to an end either after 4 years, and it would definitely have come to an end after 8 years. And what does a post-Trump Israel look like? I know that there has been a lot of concern amongst people during the week about a possible Biden presidency. So first, let's look at that. Let's look at the relationship between Israel and the United States. And we have to remember that Israel enjoys strong bipartisan support of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. There are still elements within the Republican Party that aren't the biggest supporters of Israel, although they're not as vocal as those within the Democratic Party. And here, of course, I'm referring to the squad, people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Presley. We don't have that much of a history, of a record with that to go by, but certainly the other three, probably the most vocal of them being Ilhan Omar, and of course a lot of concern from Israel that she's not checked on her anti-Semitic remarks. We cannot forget the All About the Benjamin remarks. She's been added again this morning, making comments on a situation that happened in Israel. That's up for debate, but that's a whole other show. That's a concern. The other concern here is Kamala Harris. Do we know enough about Kamala Harris? Earlier this week, she made a lot of promises to the Palestinian Authority should the Biden-Harris administration be successful. She promised them a definite two-state solution, which is interesting because none of the language in the Abraham Accords or between Israel and the Sudan refers to two states. It refers to a negotiated and just peace. She promised to renew aid, which of course is a concern because the aid has not gone to the Palestinian people. It has gone to supporting that never-ending economy of terror. She promised no annexation. Well, you know what? That's been taken off the table anyway. So that's not a
big one for her to promise anyway. She certainly doesn't represent Israel in any form of discussion.
Exactly. And one of the criteria forward to these Abraham Accords was that the issue of annexation would be taken off the table. She also promised to open a consulate for the Palestinians in Jerusalem. That's probably also not hers to promise, given that Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel, and this is not going to go down well with the United States as the strongest ally in the region. And then, of course, the most controversial is she promised to work towards opening the PLO office in Washington. And, you know, we've heard from the PLO time and time again what their intentions, what their charter is as far as Jews in Israel is concerned. So a worry there. And, of course, the big, big, biggie is the Iranian deal. And you alluded to it in the opening, and that is the most immediate concern of Israel.
So we know that there's the intention to revisit this. Trump has walked away from it. There's very clearly an intention to revisit this. Do we have any indication on what terms they would revisit the Iranian deal? Is it on the terms that Obama had negotiated, which was absolutely terrible? Or is it, is it on new terms?
Well, that's an excellent question, because all we've heard is that they'll relook at the Iranian deal. We also have to look that, you know, coming from the Obama administration's two big mistakes. One was entering into this Iranian deal, and I think it has become apparent, and certainly the landscape has changed over the last 4 years. We now have a stronger coalition and a stronger voice building in the region against revisiting the deal. You know, any objections is not going to come just from Israel. It's going to come from the Saudis, the Emiratis, the Omanis, and other countries. We also have to look at the monumental failure that was the Kerry Doctrine, which was the infamous, there'll be no peace with the Arab world until there's peace with the Palestinians. And the Trump administration, like it or loathe it, has turned that on its head. It's shown that, you know, and I loved your comparison last week to the Maginot line. I don't mind if I steal it sometime.
It's all yours.
You're a good friend. That sometimes you don't have to go through, you have to go around. That's exactly what the Trump administration has done, and we're seeing the benefits of that already. So I think that revisiting the Iranian deal might be big language, but it's not going to happen so easily, not without major objections. But the one thing you can be sure of is Iran will try and test both the United States and Israel at this time. And it's a statement that I agree with the Minister of Settlements, Tzachi Hanegbi, who said that we'll have no choice but to go to war. We've already heard testing language coming from Gaza yesterday, them saying time is running out. In other words, times for ceasefires, etc., are running out. You're not so protected by Big Brother America, are you, Israel? So, you know, we're definitely gearing up for that. And we definitely think that Iran, whether it be through their proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, or whether it be from the regime itself, will definitely try and test Israel. And we might have no choice but to see an inevitable confrontation.
Which is so fascinating, because in the last 4 years of a Donald Trump presidency, there's actually been such an incredible move towards peace in the Middle East rather than away from it. And everything we are hearing or fearing now is that it could be a return to that old conflict and rhetoric, perhaps because those voices are given a space.
Well, this is it. And, you know, we also have to separate from a lot of the promises that are said on the campaign trail into what the reality will be on the ground. Even if Biden wins this, he will not have the biggest support in Congress, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
And Congress has come out in very firm support of Israel. We've had the Taylor Force Act. You know, we cannot forget that an American citizen, an American military person, was murdered on Israeli soil because of these pay-to-slay schemes, this giving of aid and where it goes. And nobody can detract, although many are trying to, from the fact that we have these peace deals happening in the Middle East. And depending on what happens over the next few days, we may see Saudi and others coming to the normalization table, which is hugely important.
Yeah, it and of course we also can't forget that the landscape has so changed with the UAE, with other voices being there to support Israel. Although that said, in the United Nations earlier this week, we did have a very strange resolution passed, effectively disconnecting Israel and Jews from the history of the Temple Mount, and our new allies continue to vote against Israel. What do you make of that?
Well, that's very, very disturbing. Something that's gotten the hackles of Israelis up, and we're going to have to walk a fine line between, you know, maintaining this new close relationship and then already starting with the foribles, as we said. But also disturbing was that Germany and Holland also voted in that resolution. They voted for that resolution against Israel, which is also extremely concerning, given the promises made by Heiko Maas. He's the foreign minister of Germany and his Dutch counterpart, that they will support Israel at the United Nations. So this week, a record 7 resolutions passed against Israel. And it's another concern, should there be a Biden presidency, is that we may not enjoy that strong support, that very firm tone that we've had at the United Nations. The current U.S. ambassador to the UN, and of course the magnificent Nikki Haley, who was so vocal and so dignified in the way she went out to bat, and who famously said, you know, it's pretty simple. This is an issue of human rights. And of course at home, you know, we also have some interesting observation. What is going to happen to Bibi if Trump is no longer in power? And he has had a very, very long and strong relationship with Joe Biden. Joe Biden's actually had a good relationship with the state of Israel. You know, the real mystery here is Kamala Harris. But Likud officials on the record saying, you know, they're concerned, you know, with Big Brother Trump out, this will make Bibi very vulnerable to those saying, you know, it's time for you to go as well, Mr. Prime Minister. You know, you've had your time, and you haven't given the attention to the Democrats as they deserve, and maybe it's time for you to go too. So fascinating times ahead. Howard, I don't know if we've got enough whiskey.
Certainly, I'm going to make sure today that I definitely do have enough. But before I let you go, is Bibi still acting foreign minister?
He's acting foreign minister. We have Gabi Ashkenazi. He's the foreign minister, and he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, we can see, you know, he's a lot more quiet. He's a very, very, very dignified figure. And we can see the fruits of his labor in the last couple of months already, in the way that he conducts himself. And just this week with Malawi becoming the first African country to open their embassy in Jerusalem.
Really marks it. So all we have time for, it is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Thank you as always. Have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And we, of course, will chat to you next week.